The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, welcome to Who's On Content, a show that explores and dissects the influential, behavioral altering power of content through thought-provoking, culturally relevant, and industry-shifting dialogues. I'm your host, of course, EJ, Head of Special Projects at DBA, and I'm so fucking excited for you to join me on this journey of getting to know the innovative leaders and creators in our insanely addictive industry of content marketing. I mean, if content is the only influencer of behavior, we might as well figure out who's on content. Let's get into it. Jenny, I'm so excited to have you on Who's On Content. And Jenny, just so the girls know, what is your title?
So happy to be here. I'm Jenny Park. I'm a senior manager of brand partnerships at LinkedIn. So I lead talent partnerships and brand partnerships.
Ooh, come on. And we love talent and brand partnerships. So clearly there's a reason for Jenny to be here. And let's just get into the conversation. And Jenny, I always like to ask our guests, how do you define content?
Such a good question. I define content as expression of self, expression of culture, whether it's fashion, art, written, anything that is your expression.
Yes.
I heard this quote the other day and I actually loved it. And it was about how there are things that are like essential to life, like whether it's like medicine or law, but then there are the things that like make you want to be alive.
Ooh.
And I think content is like that, like the expression of that makes you want to be alive.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jenny Park is on content.
Enter the building.
I mean, mic drop. This is why you're on the show. And so, Jenny, kind of take us through your career, like the content of like your beginnings, like where you from, how you got to LinkedIn, kind of give the girls the backstory.
Yeah, so I'm originally from the Midwest. So I grew up in a suburb called Naperville outside of Chicago. Korean American, never honestly saw a lot of people who had jobs in roles outside of like owning a dry cleaners or a beauty spa salon or a doctor. Like those were the jobs that I knew of. And then when I entered college and I met other people who talked about like advertising, I was like, what is this? I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah.
It's like a mix of brand and culture and storytelling. And so I learned a lot about advertising in college and I didn't know a single person, but thank God for different networks like Ad Color and Ad Age. And I think Ad Color just announced their honorees this year. So shout out to them. But these different orgs that were like helping people to have access to the industry that weren't born into these networks. So fell in love with it. And outside of college, I moved to Minneapolis and worked at General Mills, did a lot of like traditional CPG, brand building, brand management, fell in love with all of it. And I just got really attracted to the idea of like building brands, especially brands who can influence culture and define like how do we showcase and redefine different people's identities and whatnot. Moved to LinkedIn probably about like 5 years ago in San Francisco. So I've been at LinkedIn for about 5 years. I've had a lot of different roles in my time at LinkedIn. So when I first started, it was very much like a operational role of like what does marketing look like in this big tech company? Because usually marketing is not the first thing you build when you're building a tech company. And then we were building out what our brand stands for. If people thought of LinkedIn, maybe 4 years ago, people were like, oh, LinkedIn is for like white collar professionals just to get a job. And we were like, that is not consistent with like our vision or what we want to build. And so we built out a brand team to define like, how do we build a more inclusive brand that we know is true in our own culture? So did that for a few years, got tapped to help build out our very first like Black History Month campaign of like expanding what it means to be professional. And then most recently, as we think about like people being the center of everything, I moved over to help build out what is like, it started out being called our influencer marketing team, but now we broadened to be all brand partnerships, where essentially my role was partly working with like influencers and talent who are multi-hyphenate.
Come on.
And building out their businesses, because whether you are an NBA player or an actor or a regular person like me, you have multiple interests. So helping them showcase their value and see the opportunity that could exist on LinkedIn. And we're also looking at other brand partners too, who have the same mission of us of like, what does it look like to empower people and showcase that there's possibility? So it's a good time. It's really fun.
I mean, this, first of all, I think what you said before about the history of how people perceive LinkedIn, it definitely was like the digital resume center.
Yeah.
It's like if you were applying for a job, the hiring manager probably went to your LinkedIn first to kind of see like and get your resume. But I think now the girls that get it and know that LinkedIn is where the money resides.
There you go.
LinkedIn is where the community resides. LinkedIn truly has created a space where multi-hyphenates flourish.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be, you know, and we love all of the platforms, but this is just the place where you can just see and almost like experience the fullness of people from a professional lens.
I love fullness of people. And it's new, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like if we look at the pandemic, that was probably one of the first times that people started opening up about these things, like mm-hmm. mental health and the intersection of work,
yep.
paternity leave, DE&I, all those things that people probably talked about and whispered about, but didn't have spaces to showcase what that means. Like I work and I'm a mom, or I work and all these things. And we saw people having desire to be a lot more vulnerable and talk about this and change the culture of work, both like at their own companies and culture at large.
Because it feels like that content and those conversations were happening on Facebook walls.
Yeah.
And they could sometimes get toxic, but it feels like the conversations or the articles that you share on LinkedIn from, again, a professional lens, people are like, I'm experiencing that too.
Mm.
And so there's a connectivity to when you're in a community that is centered around work, right? And work is not a corporate job. It's not, it's however you define work.
Yeah.
So the content of LinkedIn is work. The work content is whatever you do.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I mean, we're like, I feel like it's one of the few platforms where it's like real identity, real people.
Yes.
So even for me, for example, my first 5 years of working, I didn't see a single Asian director.
Wow.
So I never thought I could be a director. And then in absence of like, I came to LinkedIn and I did see a lot more representation. But until then, I could go on LinkedIn and see other
people. And see that it was possible. You had content that showed you that this is possible.
Yeah.
And that is why representative content, even from the lens of hiring or the lens of aspirations of career growth, is super important.
Yeah.
So talk to me about the content of the multi-hyphenate and what that means, because I think a lot of people are still trying to define, are you a content creator? Are you an influencer? Are you talent? And there are so many people that don't create content on a daily basis,
mm-hmm.
but have very influential jobs. And so people want to follow those people because they have like, they're a director or they're a stylist. And so they now have social media to amplify who they are.
Mm. You know what's funny is when I was younger and you asked me like, what do you want to be, Jenny, when you grow up?
Mm-hmm.
I said something like, I'm going to be a part-time anchorwoman, part-time teacher, part-time.
Everything was part-time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, I want to do 19 things.
I love it.
And now I love that the idea of a multi-hyphenate exists,
yeah.
because we don't have to fit in one box and we could play, put on lots of different hats and do mm-hmm. a lot of different things. So I think like Eva Chen is someone like a really great example,
yeah.
someone I looked up to for a long time mm-hmm. as someone who had a certain career but has expanded her brand, expanded her platform to be so many things. And I followed her because I thought her job was cool.
Yeah.
And I think what she's doing is cool. But I think a lot of people don't even have that perception now that they only have to do one thing.
Yeah.
I look at Gen Zers and they're like, I'm going to be a influencer and I'm also going to be a storyteller. And
yes.
I also want to be a writer. And I'm also, this is going to be how I make my main source of income, but I'm also going to do these 19 other things.
Yeah. And I love that because I think what we're now exploring is the intersectionality of all content and how everything influences, enhances, amplifies, and really complements what we do, right? So now we've kind of created an opportunity for people to have a career, but then find complementary avenues to amplify that career. And so is there, because I think what I'm trying to figure out is, are we wearing ourselves out? Because I think what's happening is a lot of people feel they have to be a multi-hyphenate, because if you only do one thing, then, oh girl, what are you doing? Grind, grind, grind. You are lazy. But being a generalist, or being an expert? Like, how do we get to a place where if you only do one thing, that's okay? And if
yeah.
you are a multi-hyphenate, that's okay too?
I think it's a good question. I think on the other side of that conversation too, there's something about like, do you have to find joy in the work that you do? Like, can work just be a source of income?
Okay.
Because I also think there's that where it's like, if you are expected to make work be something you're so passionate about and you like feel like you need to do all these things. But it's also okay if work is just like your paycheck too. So maybe it's just that like everyone just has a different definition of what role they want work to be in their lives.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, Jenny Park, you are on content.
I'm obsessed with you.
I love that because I think like I have a career. So my career literally is my life and everything I do complements that, right? So I am in some regards a multi-hyphenate, but there are people that are likely listening that are, I just have a job.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It pays my bills and I'm able to go out and do other things and find joy in whatever it is. And so tell me about the content of being Korean American in today's society.
I think when I was younger, I always wanted to be somebody else. Like, especially growing up in Naperville, where it is a pretty white dominant culture.
Yeah.
And my role of like wanting to fit in and be successful was like, how can I be all these other people to fit in? Part of that is like sad, obviously, because I felt like who I am is not enough or not worthy. But I look back now and I'm like, part of that is kind of beautiful that I was constantly experimenting, playing, and deciding who I wanted to be. And now I'm at a place where I like really love who I am and like
I love
being Korean American, but I still want to keep activating those muscles of playing and reinventing who I am. And I'm grateful that now we've evolved as a society. And of course there's still more work to do for all people, but there are more spaces and conversations for people who look like me can exist.
Yeah. And who look like you that can exist, right? And so in your role, knowing that you come from a space and place where representation was not there, how important is it when you're working on brand partnerships or casting talent that you look at it from all of those lenses? Like the experiences you had of not seeing yourself and understanding that if you create a campaign, there are people that are gonna see it and wanna see themselves.
Yeah, I think I first start from a place of just like curiosity because I do think it's like all representation and like all intersectionality and like how do we showcase inclusivity in everything that we do and not just tokenize people, but really be thoughtful and intentional about the ways that different people show up. So when I think about like work, how that shows up and like one, I think I am sensitive to the fact of like, what are the power dynamics at play? Like what are the different decisions that we're making and what are the unintended consequences from some of those. So I'll give you an example at work.
There's actually unintended consequences.
So this isn't about advertising, but it's about something I actually learned at LinkedIn that I thought was beautiful about decision making. So our whole mission at LinkedIn is about creating economic opportunity for every member. So no matter where you were born, because we know that your zip code is likely the biggest indicator of like how successful you might be.
And that's a real thing.
Not
that's
fair.
A real thing.
And so there was this whole thing that someone was talking about. They were building this feature on LinkedIn where it's like, if you want to apply for a job somewhere at a company, it will show you other people you know in your network who might give you a referral that you win. And we're like, this is so cool because you could then have like a soft introduction. And someone raised their hand and they were like, that is great in theory, but are we not just perpetuating the people who already have networks or like have their dad or their uncle or their friend who already has it in? Like, what about the people who don't have these networks? And everyone kind of just looked and they made changes. Like they decided like, okay, that is an unintended consequence of a decision that they were about to make and a feature that was going to affect millions of people.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay, so now how do we think about like people doing open to mentorship or how do we think about third degree connections or giving you access to like follow other people?
I love that.
Yeah. And that was such a powerful moment for me of just like, how do we have that lens of what are unintended consequences?
Unintended consequences feels the same as unconscious bias.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
It's the blind spots that we have from content we're not consuming, you know? And so you make decisions based on the content that you're consuming, not even realizing that the content you're not consuming has unintended consequences.
Yeah.
Or creates unconscious bias.
100%.
Oh my God. And are there certain lenses when you think about brand partnerships and how they show up with LinkedIn that you are putting, you know, certain partnerships through? I know you all had an amazing intentional partnership with CultureCon.
And love CultureCon.
We've had Imani on the show. Hey, boo. And that felt so much like a CultureCon event. It felt like a moment that the brand could be a part of versus a branded moment. And we talk about that so much at DBA, where a lot of things feel overly branded to the point that you're like, girl, we get it. Like, you paid you cut the check for this event. But that was not the case. There were intentional touch points where the LinkedIn brand was on display, but it was complimentary. It wasn't overpowering. And so what was the intentionality behind that?
Well, huge shout out to Erin Caesar,
yes, who led Erin. That.
She is absolutely phenomenal and impressive to watch.
I mean, ma'am, chef's kiss.
I will say, okay, then there's two things. I think one is that, like, we do look for brands and partners who have shared values.
Mm-hmm.
But second, people who are already leaders and experts in some of these spaces.
Yeah.
And that, like, for example, like, how do we create inclusive spaces for Black communities and Black creators and honor that? Wasn't a means to an end. If it was a means to an end, then yeah, we would put our logo on everything.
Exactly.
But it was actually the goal of how do we make sure that people feel this and feel honored and have the spaces, which means that we need to take a back seat.
You wanted to jumpstart a dialogue and create that brave space, right?
Yeah.
Where those dialogues and those connections could continue. On LinkedIn. I see what you did there. I see what you did there. I love that, Jenny. And talk to me about, like, just job content creation, right? Because now that they're all multi-hyphenates that are creating content for their jobs, like, how important is it? Or how do you kind of, like, when you think about the content of your job, right?
Yeah.
Are there things that you're intentionally doing to kind of, like, promote LinkedIn, promote yourself? Like, what does that look like for you?
So I actually create content on TikTok about, like, the secrets of being successful in corporate America that no one talks about.
Ma'am, drop the handle.
It's at Mohe with Jenny Park. And Mohe in Korean means, like, what are you up to? Like, from a place of, like, curiosity, asking questions.
I love that.
That's a cute word. But basically, when I started working and I entered corporate America, I was shocked. Like, one, like, even the idea of being in an elevator stuck with someone more senior than me was so nerve-wracking because...
Oh, girl.
Did you feel that?
Because that awkward silence of, like, do I speak? Do I bow? Do I, like, wait for you to get off the elevator? It was giving, like, Anna Wintour, Condé Nast type vibes.
And I watched my white peers, and they all had so many similar interests. They talk about their lake houses they owned.
Come on. You're just in the background like, I'm just trying to go to lunch.
Yeah. They talked about, like, their favorite, like, 90s movie classic.
Mm-hmm.
They talked a lot about, like, their is it called a crock pot? Yeah,
yes,
a crock pot recipe.
I love my crock pot.
So I bought a crock pot, EJ.
Sis.
I was like, I can't contribute to this conversation about lake houses, but I can buy a crock pot.
Ugh. Give me some stew. I will, baby. That crock pot. Shout out to my grandmother.
I love it. But basically, I started and I was like, wow, I cannot relate to all these unwritten rules of, like, how do you advocate for yourself in a meeting?
Mm-hmm.
What do you talk about in a one-on-one?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, lucky that I had a lot of mentors.
Oh, I love that.
Who helped me, who are willing to tell me, like, here's what you should do in your one-on-one. Here's how you advocate for yourself, because everyone else is thinking the same thing.
And now your mentors, I love this. The content of mentorship and the mentors that you have, are they physical? Like you meet with them in person, or are some of them digital? Because I want to talk about how there is, to your earlier point, this third degree of separation on LinkedIn where mentorship can happen. And so now that the world is becoming highly digitized, how do we still take the things that are so foundational to success, which is mentorship, and use places like LinkedIn, or just use our LinkedIn network to find those mentors?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think we should think about that more, because when I was really junior in my career and learning, it was all physical mentorships.
It was all physical.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of meeting rooms,
for
a lot of
sure.
coffee chats.
Yes.
But now, after COVID, like, nobody is going into the office, or not as often.
Not as often. And don't even get us started on monkeypox. The girls is like, listen, we're not going nowhere.
Avoid all sex.
Avoid all physical contact with everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, yes, there is this. COVID definitely has put almost like a gray cloud, no matter how open we are outside, around being in person.
Oh my God, what a time we're living in.
Ooh, the girls are nervous. They'd be like, So we are more selective with the people that we'll meet in person.
Yeah. I love remote work too, and hybrid work, however, but it's just, like, harder to build connections over, like, a virtual screen.
I completely agree. And those interpersonal skills of, like, watching your coworkers kind of, like, negotiate and converse about a program or a problem that they're having. Like, I feel that for Gen Zers, they are losing out on having those interactions in the office, where I learned so much just from watching other people.
Yeah, you know how many hallway conversations I eavesdropped on?
Ma'am.
That was
you learn how to navigate difficult conversations because you watch either your boss navigate one with another employee, or you just watch two employees kind of go at it, and you're just like, okay, now I know how I would handle myself in that situation.
Yes.
And again, it's content that's just around you because it's the content of being in the office. It's office content.
Part of it is like, yes, there is a lot of corporate speak that is like kind of like subtle and direct, which isn't great. Like, we should probably demystify some of that and stop talking like that.
Mm-hmm.
But part of it is just like the way it is right now, where we have to kind of understand some of that. So it is like not totally fair.
Yeah.
But that is why it's great that people who are willing to share their advice and share their stories, whether it's on TikTok or on LinkedIn, like I get a lot of advice from TikTok and LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And people are sharing like, here's what I learned, here's what's helpful. And I think people can find mentorship through online spaces.
I love that. And online spaces is where community thrive. When we think about all of this, right, like Multi-Hyphen is creating content around their work, mentorship within online communities. I feel that there's an untapped resource that a lot of corporate spaces are not utilizing. Mm-hmm. And it is the Multi-Hyphenate, the person that is senior manager, the person that is SVP of whatever, that is able to create content that amplifies who they are, but also the work that they're doing. Mm. So I think that a lot of jobs are seeing their Multi-Hyphenate employees and seeing some of that content that they create outside of work as a threat, when they could technically see that as an asset. What are your thoughts on that?
It's interesting because I've seen a lot. Do you spend a lot of time on TikTok?
I don't. I can't. TikTok is a little too spastic for me.
Yeah, that's super fair. I feel like I need everything to be on 2x speed. So I love TikTok for that. But there's a lot of creators who talk about that they had conversations with their employers about possibly getting fired because their presence online could be a distraction.
Well, let's talk about it, because the content before... Remember college when Facebook first came out and the girls literally went on a social media like detox and they cleansed? I mean, the way we used to cleanse our Facebook pages of any drunken nights from college, anything that could be seen as unprofessional, the content of work has always bled into our lives, because what I do in my personal time is my personal time.
Yeah.
But technically, what I do for money is what people define me as.
Yeah, 100%. I do feel like more companies are becoming more open-minded about it. I don't think every company is.
I don't think every company is, right.
Hopefully there's more, though, because like, if you want to retain good talent, you actually want them to feel like they can show up as their best selves, do their best work, and trust them that they'll be able to manage their own work and their own personal passions on their own. I also think that like, people are talking about their work experiences so they can be ambassadors for you.
Exactly. Like, if you're having someone create content and they are giving other people advice on how to navigate certain spaces, why would you not? And then I think it also would help if some of those companies looked at the content that was being created and saying, you're really good at this. Would you like to go into our marketing department or our social or our digital team? Because some of these corporate pages are trash.
Name them, EJ.
I mean, it's giving Bell Atlantic like the phone book. And it's just like, who is on content?
Yeah. What's worse, though, is when they try to use like trendy speak or whatever. And I'm like, yikes.
You're like, yikes. And so that's what I'm saying. There's an untapped resource in terms of like, listen, if they slam it at TikTok, put them on like, hey, can you create some content for us?
Okay, that's the thing that I love, is that I do think that there's a movement towards this idea of content or social media creation being now seen as like a valued skill set.
Yes.
Whereas before, like, people perceived any of that stuff to be like intern work or like,
oh yeah, get the intern to put the Facebook. But it's not, because creating content, being a content creator, is a talent.
Yeah.
Everyone cannot create content in order to influence people. We're all creating content. It just might not be great content. I mean, that's just the reality of it, right? We see so many people that want to be quote unquote influencers. Everyone is an influencer. Let's just be clear. Everyone is influencing someone to do or try something.
Yeah.
But you want to be a content creator, that's a true skill. That is a true business. And it takes time and effort and honestly, like hard work. And so I think to your earlier point, like it definitely is a time where more content creators could probably go into traditional quote unquote spaces and really thrive. And so I think that that's the future of what I'm hoping will come as we explore work and how work is a part of our everyday lives, and all of the content that we're creating can kind of fuel that.
And people are making so much money being creators. Why would we stop them?
Come on.
From doing that.
Why would you stop them from doing that if they can help amplify the business?
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, Jenny, we've come to the portion of the show where we're going to do rapid fire.
Love it.
I'm going to ask you four questions.
Okay.
After each question, I'm going to ask who's on content. Doesn't have to be a platform, just expression. Your favorite form of content, who's on content?
TV shows. I watch way too much TV.
Do you? Yeah. What are you watching now?
Okay, I love Sex Lives of College Girls.
Oh, obsessed.
So good. I think the next season's coming out soon.
Like, Mindy Kaling, call us.
My queen.
I mean.
I also love MTV The Challenge.
I had to give you a moment of silence on that. Okay, okay.
I'm an active lurker of the MTV Challenge Reddit thread.
Are you?
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay, you need a reset. Who's on content?
I'm taking a bath.
Yes.
I love taking baths.
Oh, and do you put like Epsom salt and like candles and turn the lights out?
I mean, sometimes like I will make it a whole vibe when it's like an experience.
Yes.
But sometimes I just want to like sit in hot water and just like soothe myself in it. I will take baths daily.
I might take a bath after this.
I hope you do.
I have not taken a bath. Jesus, I don't even know the last time I took a bath.
Take a bath, EJ. It'll change your life.
Okay. You need to be inspired.
Mindy Kaling, let's go.
Come on. She already knew. Last rapid fire, when you need to feel joy, who's on content?
Oh, my husband was the first person who came to mind.
Aww.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Eugene. Eugene is someone who just really encourages me to dream big and take up space.
Yes. Oof. Come on, Eugene. Jenny, final question. All of this work, content, multi-hyphenates, digital, Web3, metaverse. What is the future of our industry?
I think more stories being told and people feeling like they might not belong in certain places or participate in certain spaces will no longer be true. Less and less and be true.
Ooh, I love that, Jenny. And with that, Jenny Park, I cannot thank you enough for joining us on Who's on Content. You are always on content, and I am so, so happy that you came to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm obsessed with your podcast. It's so fun.
That was a shameless plug. Thank you. Thanks again for listening. Be sure to follow us at The Real DBA and give us a rating and leave us a review. See you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.